It's good to be with the saints in the presence of God, under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, down in Florida, there was an old man. I may have shared this with you before. I couldn't remember exactly whether I had or not, but it's a good thing to focus our attention. Every Friday evening on a fishing pier off the coast of east coast of Florida, there was an old man who would walk down every Friday evening with a bucket of shrimp, fresh shrimp. And he would begin to feed the shrimp to the seagulls. And of course, the seagulls came in like crazy for those. And it created quite a stir on this fishing pier, and people began to wonder what on earth was going on. So finally, someone worked up the courage to stop the old fellow and asked him, "What are you doing? You do this every Friday. What are you doing?" He said, "Well, my name is Ed, and the shrimp, oh, that has something to do with a trip I took in October 1942. You see, in October 1942, Ed and his crew were flying across the Pacific Ocean in a B-17 bomber. He was on a mission to reach General Douglas MacArthur, Supreme Allied Commander of the Pacific Theater. The journey wasn't easy. The B-17 got lost, and they had to crash land in the ocean. Stuck on a small raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of a world war, is not where you want to be. Ed and his crew knew that they were facing certain death. If the Japanese didn't get them, if the weather didn't get them, then the sharks probably would. They were all crammed into a raft 9 feet by 5 feet. And Ed said some of the sharks that bumped the raft and tried to knock it over were over 10 feet long. But as it turned out, their greatest test was one of starvation, not having enough water and food. After many, many days of drift, their food was gone. Their water supply was extremely low. And Captain William Cherry, who was the pilot of the B-17, he was holding religious services every day. And at the end of each service, he would pray for deliverance. The men tried to rest. Ed said, "I pulled my hat down and tried to sleep, and as the sun beat down on us." And then one day, after so many days without food, Ed said, "I felt something land on my head. I didn't dare move because I looked at the other men in the raft, and I could see from their faces that there was possibly a seabird had landed on my head. If I could just catch it, but could I catch it?" Ed said, "I reached up very, very slowly, and I managed to grab the bird. It was a seagull. The men ate it raw, and then they used some of its flesh for fish bait. And with that one seagull, they were able to hang on long enough until they were rescued. That's why every Friday night until his death in July 24th, 1973, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, Medal of Honor winner, one of the most famous pilots of World War I and World War II, that's why he would go down to the pier every Friday night and remember his friends, the seagulls. They saved his life. This story in Joshua chapter 4 is a story about building memorials. What memorials do we have in our lives? What are we remembering about what God has done for us? Do we have any memorials in our homes? Would you turn with me to the book of Joshua, a story about building memorials? Now, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. "Now, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, and from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where they will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are there to this day. For the priests who carried the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing the ark of the Lord, and the priest crossed before the people, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. These are some of the most interesting passages in the book of Joshua, because chapter 3 and chapter 4, you'll notice something if you've been reading along with us in the weeks. All of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4 is devoted to this thing of crossing the Jordan. 1/12 of the book of Joshua is devoted to this subject. And whenever God uses a lot of ink on a subject, you know that's important. 1/12 of Joshua's book deals with this subject of crossing the Jordan. The Israelites were commanded to build a memorial of God's miracle of the stopping of the Jordan River. They were to be personally involved in the construction of this memorial. This memorial was to become a symbol to teach the succeeding generations about God's acts on behalf of his people. And personal memorials record God's acts in our own lives. Those memorials help us trust the Lord when all about us is changing. They remind us of what he did and what he is capable of doing. I suggest to you that one of the major themes of this chapter is that God wants us to have memorials in our walk with God. We should have memorials in our walk with God because God commands that they be created, that be built. You'll notice that he commands them. Take up for yourselves stones, verse 3. God commands that memorials be made. Why? Because in the times of adversity and change, they provide stability to us. The context here of this whole passage, of this whole episode in the history of Israel, is a context of change, isn't it? We said it in past weeks. These people are going to have radically different lives in just a few weeks. They were slaves in Egypt. And then they were nomads in the desert. Now they're going to be settled people. They're going to be property owners. Many of you have homes. You bought homes. You know what it was like when you were just renting. You never knew if the landlord was going to say, okay, I'm going to raise the rent, or you had to move. But when you become a property owner, there's a stability that comes, isn't it? They were going to become a settled people, an established nation. They had never been that before. They'd just been moving from place to place. These memorials come into a time of change. They're necessary in a time of change. Remember what Joshua said in chapter 3, verse 4. Follow the ark, but keep your distance from it, because you have not passed this way before. Their lives are going to be radically different when they go over this river. And then in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, Joshua has said, by the stopping of the Jordan River, you're going to know that the living God is among you. Well, why is that so important? Well, because you're going to have all kinds of wars and battles that you're going to have to fight. And in the midst of all those battles, you're going to have to remember God stopped the water of the Jordan. It's going to give you confidence. In a time of change, you need memorials. In a time of adversity, did you ever notice something? God is very smart. God is very clever. You notice the time that he brings them into the promised land? Not the time when the Jordan River is low and easy to cross. No, a time when the Jordan River is overflowing its banks. Isn't that what Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 says? For the Jordan overflows its banks all the days of harvest. Sometimes God brings his people into times of adversity. They come up to this barrier. How are we going to cross this with hundreds of thousands of people? Can't build a bridge over it. But God picks this exact time. Why? Because the manna is going to stop and they're going to need food. And when does the Jordan overflow its banks? All during the days of harvest. Israel's going to come in right when they're reaping the harvest, so they won't have to worry about food. They didn't have time to plant. They were coming from the wilderness. God's very smart. But memorials are important in times of adversity. When all the nation had finished crossing, all the nation, you know, God waits until all the nation has crossed. He delivered every single one of them. That's the point. Nahum puts it this way, the Lord is good. The Lord's good to everybody. A stronghold in a day of trouble. And the Lord knows those who take refuge in him. He delivers them. Memorials are made at God's command. Verse 2, take up for yourselves 12 men from the tribes, from the one man from each tribe. These stones, the men are taken up and the stones are taken up. One man from each tribe. Everybody is represented. Take for yourselves. That's a theme that runs throughout this whole chapter. For yourselves. God doesn't forget. It's we who need the memorials. And command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones. There's a pattern here. God commands the leader, Joshua, and Joshua commands the people. And then the people follow the commands. That will be a pattern repeated again and again in the book of Joshua. Not from the edge of the Jordan, but from the middle of the Jordan. From the middle of the Jordan. Do you know that 6 times in this chapter, from the middle, from the middle, from the middle, from the middle? Is Joshua just bored? He doesn't know what else to write? No, that's God's little way of driving home the point. This memorial must come from the middle of the situation that you're in. Directly related to the situation that you're in. From the middle of this river. So you will remember these stones used to be in the middle of the river. They came right out of the circumstance that I was in. Evidence of the miracle. A lot of times you hear people say, you're just believing in something, the sweet by and by. You're believing in an invisible God. No, we don't. We have a God who has invaded history. We have a God who has actually been on this planet. He's walked up and down the streets of this planet. We have a Jesus who has invaded our lives. He's actually done something. You know, rocks are kind of like facts. They endure from generation to generation. From the middle of the river, take up these stones. Literally, you yourselves take them up. Remember, it was the priest who first stepped out in faith and got their feet wet. That was last week. Where they were standing. And bring these stones over and cause them to rest in the place where you're going to spend your first night in the promised land. Do rocks get tired? You ever see the stone go, oh. People need rest, don't they? And when you have a rock under your feet, a solid foundation, you can rest. Bring them over to the place where you're going to rest. Stones are a pretty good foundation. When you build a building, you want to be on rock solid. rocks on those sound, bedrock. You want to do an interesting Bible study? Just look at all the stones in the Bible. Stones are there as witnesses. Stones are there as testifiers. Stones are there as evidence that we have a God who has invaded history. It reminds us of that other stone that gives us all confidence today. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone taken out of its place, moved to someplace else. Why? It is evidence. Evidence. And so Joshua obeys, calls the men. He caused them to be ready. Get up, get the rocks. Have we remembered what God has done in 2017? Have we remembered what God has done in our nation's past? Have we remembered what God has done in this church's past? Have we remembered what God did in our own past? Have we carried that knowledge forward into our present lives? That's what memorials are for. That's why God commands them to be made. Why should we remember what God does? Because it gives us confidence for the battles we're going to face. Memorials should be made. Memorials should be personal. Notice verse 5. Joshua said, cross again to the ark. The ark was all this time these guys were standing in the middle of this dry riverbed holding up this big, heavy gold box. Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, carry it on your own shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Take it up on your own shoulder. As I said before, six times in this chapter, middle, 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 middle of the river. Lift it up on your shoulder. The word here for lifted up means cause it to be lifted up high. It's only used one time in the book of Joshua, this verb, unusual verb. Lift up the stone. It's like what David says, what he prays in 2 Samuel 22, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and be exalted, the God of my the rock of my salvation. Every tribe was to have a representative. Everybody was to be involved in this. Memorials need to be personal. Who is the memorial keeper in your family? Who preserves the memorials? Who keeps the memories alive? Do we have any memorials of what God has done in our lives? Do our children know the story of our memorials and how God had worked in our, has worked in our family? Every parent needs to give their children, we've heard this all before, roots and wings. Memorials are like roots, you know. They go down into the deep soil. They tell us about where you came from, who you are. But parents also need to give their children wings, confidence to soar to greater heights. But memorials are the root part of that. Notice again, verse 2, verse 3, verse 6, throughout this whole chapter, for yourselves, for yourselves, for yourselves. God knows that we forget. It's like what Isaiah says about our deliverer in Isaiah 9, 6. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulder. Like those stones rested on the shoulders of those men. 1 Peter puts it this way. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed. It's a personal memorial. Memorials need to be personal, coming out of our own life experience. Because personal memorials remind us in ways that nothing else can, that God has done something great for us. This is one of the Fiedler memorials. It's a piece of aircraft aluminum. It's painted green because it was the Army Air Corps back in World War II. It's off a combat aircraft from Turner Field, Georgia. It's a memorial of the Fiedler family. To look at it, it just looks like a broken piece of metal. But it holds great meaning for our family. It's part of an airplane flown by a young man named Manuel Perez. He was a good pilot. He was a friend of my father's in World War II. My father was a flight instructor in Turner Field, Georgia. And during the war, like many other men, my father began to lose faith in God and drift away from God. Stop going to church. That's not unusual. That happens to a lot of men in war. Many times people lose their faith when war breaks out. Now, periodically at a training base, they will bring in new aircraft. They'll fly in new aircraft, and they will give those aircraft to the cadets for them to learn on, to train on. Manuel got a new airplane. It was flown in, brand new from the factory. My father said, Manuel, let me take the plane up for its first flight here. I really like to fly. Let me take it up first. Manuel said, no, I'm taking the first flight. So Manuel and his co-pilot got in that plane, taxied down to the end of the runway, took off. In less than 5 minutes, they were dead. The plane went off, normal takeoff. It went up, but when it got up several hundred feet above the runway, the rear elevator, the control surface on the tail of the plane, stuck in the upward position. It pushed the tail down, it went into a stall, and it came down and hit the runway. My father, along with dozens of other people, watched him killed in that crash. This is a part of that crash. After that accident, my father went back to church. And he kept that piece of metal as a memorial. I have it today. It reminds me that if my father had been in that plane, I and my brothers and sisters wouldn't even be here today. Did God love Manuel less and love my father more? That's not what this memorial means. It means God was showing me grace before I even existed, just like he's been showing you grace before you even existed. What keeps reminding you and your families, us and our families, that life is precious? This relationship we have with Jesus is precious. What keeps reminding us of what God has done? Memorials need to be personal. Out of our personal experience, out of the middle of the situation, so we can say, God did that. What have we picked up along our way in our walk with Jesus? What evidence do we have that he really cares about us? He cares about the little things and the big things of life. Because that will sustain us when we get into times of trials and tests. What memorials are we carrying forward into our 2018? Memorials declare the glory of God. It's another reason why we need memorials. They declare what God has done. They declare the glory of God. Verse 6, let this be a sign among you, literally in your inward parts. Let it be a sign in your inward parts. Another interesting Bible study to do is just take that word sign and look at all the signs in the Bible, from one end to the other. Genesis 9, verse 12 to 13, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant, of the agreement, of the promise, of the contract I'm making between me and you and every living creature, Noah. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Exodus 12:13, we read that verse today when we started. The blood of the Passover lamb shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You'll see the blood, and I'll see the blood, and I'll pass over you. A sign for you. These stones shall be a sign for you. They will declare what God did, so that your children will ask, what does this piece of metal mean? Dad, why do we have this here in the house? Mom, why do you keep that old book? You see, if you don't have a memorial, the kids don't ask. That's why it's important to have them. What is the meaning of these stones? What do these stones mean? You know, when the modern Jews today celebrate Passover, the Passover Seder, they follow a certain ritual. And in the Passover Seder, as it's practiced, there's four questions. The Passover tradition is to tell the Magid. The Magid is the retelling of the story of the exodus of Israel, from Egypt. And the story always begins with the youngest person at the Passover asking the questions. I won't go into all the questions, but the first question is, Ma nishtaha halaleil hazot makol haleloth. Why is this night different than all other nights? And the answer, of course, is, in this night, the Lord delivered us from slavery in Egypt. That was the night when God saw the blood on the doorposts. Why is this night different from all other nights? Children need to know this. Questions help the young understand. Questions help reveal to them who we are. Questions answer why we do what we do. They declare what God has done. Verse 7, and you shall say to your children, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when he crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are a memorial. They're from the middle of the Jordan. The barrier was removed. The flood stopped so that the people of God could go forward into what God had for them. Are there any barriers in your life that you need removed? We have a God who can stop the seas. We have a God who can stop the waters. We have a God who can move the mountains. God took the barrier out of their way. Isn't that what he did for us through the cross? Took the barrier out of the way. It's repeated and stressed again and again. And it's tied in Joshua chapter 4, verse 23, to what God did at the Red Sea. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea. Are we getting the point here? God demonstrates his power in our individual lives, in the lives of his people, so they will trust him. So they will trust him. We need to tell the stories about what God has done. I mean, isn't that one of the things that when you go to a war memorial, don't you praise the men and the women that are there that are honored because of what they did? What they did? You've been to Washington to see, many of you, you've seen the Iwo Jima Memorial and those men holding up the flag. And what did that mean to those men when they held that flag up on Mount Suribachi? March. It meant we're going to win. We're going to win. Admiral Nimitz said, on that island, on that day, uncommon valor was a common virtue. What do our memorials say about God? What do they say about what God has done? What do they say about us? We are a people who have a history, and we should remember our history. We should declare what he's done for us. We should build memorials. Verse 8. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded. More important than what you know, more important than what you know about the Bible is what you do with the Bible. It's 10 times more important. Israel, it says, was wrestling with God. Jacob was wrestling with God in Genesis 32:32. And he wouldn't let the angel go until the angel blessed him. And the angel struck him in the thigh. And now it says the Jews do not eat the sinew of the thigh because they remember that wrestling match between Jacob and the angel. They remember. And so they create that little memorial among the Jews. They don't eat the sinew that's attached to, because it's a remembering that wrestling match they had with God. Just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, God speaks to Joshua. Joshua speaks to the people act. That's the way God arranged it. You're going to see that pattern over and over again. In Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses said to the people, "Only give heed to yourselves. Keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons." Things carried forward in life are memorials. What are we carrying forward in life? The truth of the matter is, God's given us all memory, the capacity to remember things. Sometimes it's not as good as it used to be, but God has given us the ability to remember things. What are we remembering? What memorials are we remembering? Are we remembering all the great things God has done? Are we remembering all the bad things people have done to us? We will remember. We just have a choice in what we remember. And it is interesting to study what God remembers and what he doesn't remember. I'm so glad God forgets things, aren't you? God does not remember what we did, but we should remember what he did. Jeremiah 31:34, he says, "I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." I won't remember their sin anymore. You see, we need to build memorials. Thinking about what God has done gives us peace. I realize this is really basic stuff, folks, but a lot of the anxiety of life comes from when we just flat out forget what he did. We figured, well, he's way older now. I'm sure he can't do it anymore. Isaiah says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Peace is all bound up with who he is and what he's done for us in the past and what he will do for us in the future. And Joshua set up the 12 stones. A pile of stones in the middle of the river, a pile of the stones on the camping site where they camped the first night in the Promised Land. Have you ever stood in a spot like that? A historical spot? There's something about standing in a historical spot. I've had the opportunity a few times in my life to stand in a place where history was made. One of those spots is in Richmond, Virginia. The place where God stopped the River Jordan, that's where these stones came out of. There's a place like that in Richmond, Virginia, St. John's Church. It's a historical place. And every year they have a little band of actors that go there and they go to this church and they reenact what happened there. And you can go and see it. And you can stand in the very spot where the man spoke. And Patrick got up and said this, "What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet that it be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not course what others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And I can tell you, when you stand in that spot, in that church, you can feel a little bit of the resonance and the power of that moment. Any of you have been to New York City and been to Ground Zero where the two trade centers stood, and you stand in that spot, let me tell you, you feel something there. It's a hallowed place. That's, again, the point of all of this. Don't forget this awesome thing that God did. Memorials confirm the truthfulness of the history. To this day, those stones are there. The priests act, and then the people go before the priests. Priests act, and then the people. For the priests who carried the Ark of the Jordan until everything had completed, and the Lord commanded Joshua to speak. And then it says this, and when all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The Ark was first into the river. The Ark was at the end after all the people crossed over. It came out last. It was at the beginning and at the end. And so is he, at the beginning and at the end. He was there when we first came to Jesus. He'll be there when we meet him in paradise. He is the Alpha, the Omega. And then it adds this note about Reuben and Gad and the sons and the half-tribe of Manasseh. How do they cross over? What does it say? Verse 13 or verse 12. They crossed over in battle array with their swords on, with their shields on, with their armor on. Why? Because the writer of Joshua is telling us what's about to come. Warfare. What's coming for Israel? Battles. Many, many battles. God is a God who teaches his people to fight us. Psalm 144, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." But in all the fighting, they need to always remember Psalm 44, verse 3, "By their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But by your right arm, by your right hand and your arm, and the light of your presence, you favored them." Have each of us obeyed the command of the Lord? Have we acted upon God's instructions to make memorials? Because we will need them. Do we have memorials to remember all that God has done already on our behalf? Why have memorials? Because God commands that we make them. It can be a book, it can be many different things. But it needs to be something out of your own personal experience with Jesus. And remember, the memorials declare what God has done. They are for his glory and for our benefit to help us remember. When people come into your home and they see that thing and they say, "What is it?" Well, this is what God did for me. And so we must act upon what God has commanded. I encourage you this year to build some memorials. Particularly those of you who have young children, this is the time to build memorials. So they will ask the question, "Lord, may you be glorified in your people." And every time we come to the memorial, "Lord, may we glorify your name for what you did in delivering us and setting us free. Lord, we were captive and you set us free. You delivered us. You brought us through the Jordan. And you will bring us all through the Jordan that awaits each and every one of us. For there's another Jordan that we will all come to in this life at the end of our days. And you'll bring us through that Jordan too. May you be glorified in your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.